Tackle five. This is the last. It's bounced away to Thurston. Comes up Blair. Got rid of Blair. Pushes away from McCulloch. Thurston gets the ball to Morgan. Morgan crosses the 20. Comes away to O'Neill. Gets the ball away. And Felt. Felt has scored.
Good evening. Welcome back to the Totally Digital Supercoach podcast. You're here with myself and Julian, and we have a special guest today. We have FT from the SS. I'll let him introduce himself and go over what SS stands for and go a bit of a run. How are you, FT?
Yo, yeah. FT here. I own the best Supercoach Discord server going around and Julian's favorite, Secret Society. Yeah, we like to keep pretty private, but we could do with more members. So, yeah, just thought quick plug would do.
Perfect, man.
Yeah, sorry?
Sounds good. If listeners want to jump on that Secret Society, how do they go about that? They can find that on the Discord, or how do they go about that?
Yeah, we also have a Twitter page under the same name. If you can message us on Twitter or anything, that'd be fine.
Good stuff, mate. Kick us off with a bit of a team reveal. So myself and Julian have gone through our team, give us sort of solid reasons as to why you chose what you have to kick off the year. Like, completely understand that it'll change probably a million times like mine has before round one, but how's your team shaping up at the moment?
Yeah, no worries. I'll get it up now. All right, I'll start with the hookers. Brandon Smith and Sonny Luke. So, no Grant there.
Nice.
Front rowers, Payne Haas, and Nelson, Asofa Solomona. Just, I have him there on the hope that he'll, you know, just a bit of wishful thinking that he'll be on the edge. And if he does, I think that's an easy selection. It's an easy swap down to one of the mids there, so that's why I have him there as a bit of a placeholder.
Very dangerous on the edge if he is playing edge.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think he has the highest upside of any of the mids. Yeah. If he's on an edge, I think he has an easy scope to be a keeper there.
He picked up a fair few more minutes back end of last season too, so he's probably a little bit conditioned, probably out looking to play a little bit more minutes this year as well, which could be pretty dangerous on an edge there.
Yeah, I feel like, because obviously they knew that Felice Kaufusi and Kenny Bromwich were leaving.
Before
that whole stuff happened in the middle of the year with all the injuries. So I thought maybe Craig Bellamy might have given him a trial run there, see how he went. Mm. I thought he impressed.
No, very good shout. I haven't even looked at him myself, so I'd have to
have a look. Yeah, it's a unique one. I got the piss taken out of me for having him, but it's
Who else you got there?
Uto there as my third. Bit of a placeholder there. If he starts, pretty easy pick there. He selects himself. And Franklin Pele from the Bulldogs, another placeholder there.
Yep.
And then my second rowers, I have Angus Crichton and David Fifita.
Ooh.
So I'm running two guns there at the moment. And I've got Luke Garner, Jermaine Hopgood, Josh Schuster, and that Matamua from the Tigers, another placeholder there.
I'm a bit disappointed, mate. We just had a chat off air of a bit of a Bunny supporter, like for like. No Cam Murray to start off?
Maybe. I'm still tossing up between the two there. I had Madison there, hoping that he might have been free to play, but it got confirmed that he was suspended, so it's a bit disappointing. But
loves money.
Yeah, he does. Bit of a tight ass, isn't he?
That's big hit for him.
Yeah. Looks like he spent it all on bloody steroids this year anyway.
Yeah, it's big boy, eh?
Who's your halfbacks?
Cleary and Hines at the moment.
Yeah, we can move on from that, mate.
I'm not set on it, but yeah, it's
Hines has been in there of mine team a few times already, but he always finds a way back, eh?
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of money, but I just keep coming back to the fact that for years we've paid for Cleary at top dollar and no one's questioned it. So
he has a bit more has a bit more pedigree though than Hines, I feel.
Yeah, true.
That's probably the difference.
How often do we come to the start of a season and, you know, it's always the Tedesco or the Cleary chat, like, do you start with them or do you not? And every time the people that don't start with those guys, you know, come round four or five, they're done, they're over it.
Yeah, that's right. So I guess I'll move on to my 5/8. I have Adam Dewey and Matt Burton.
Love it.
Yeah, I like the. I'm warming to the idea of having both there. Yeah. Obviously, Munster was in my thoughts, but at the moment, I've steered away. And then the centre wings, I have Val Holmes there as an anchor. Pretty keen to have him.
Yeah.
And then just kind of lower mids and cheapies like Perham, Dunster, the Titans bloke, Tyrell Sloan, Alamotti, and that the big boy from the Dolphins, Tofare.
Oh, yeah.
And then fullbacks, this is where you might be impressed. Latrell.
Yes, sir.
And then Turbo.
Yeah.
I still don't know between Latrell and Tedesco, but like I said, with NAS, Latrell's more expensive, so it's pretty easy. Swap to Teddy if I feel inclined to pick Tedesco instead.
Yeah.
Solid side, mate. Solid side.
Not too flash, but...
Very strong.
Yeah.
No, very strong. Plenty of making opportunities and stuff as well. I do like the Smith and Sonny Luke. I don't know if I can foresee Grant not making my side to kick off round one, but I've had B. Smith and Sonny Luke in and out as well, just playing and messing around. I've had Hines in and out. I must say Cam Murray and Latrell Mitchell haven't left my side at all. Devoted for supporter there.
I might go the same, mate, yeah. At least I'm not worried about the Bunnies draw with them two players at least. That's not too much of a deterrent for me.
Yeah, I don't see Cam Murray. I don't see him dropping below like a 70 average. He's good for that. My concern would be that, like, is there anything above that? And he's on point. So he's like priced at his point. There's not much growth there, I don't feel.
But you've got him in your side to make money, not to grow you've got him in your side to earn your points every week, not to make money. So that's what he's there for. He's not going to grow.
Yeah.
If he does grow, it'll be for points. He's 750,000 now. He's not going to, even if he does to go 800K, you're not going to hock him off and take the 50,000, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. So today we're going to start dissecting the teams or continue dissecting the teams. We've got, we'll go over the Storm, we'll go over the Cowboys, and we'll touch on the Tigers as well. There's plenty of moving parts happening at the Tigers this year. We'll kick off with the Storm. We'll start with the hookers. I know we've covered him in quite amount of depth the last two episodes, but Harry Grant, Julian, how do we feel he's going to start? Last year he started pretty strong in the first opening five rounds.
Yeah, I reckon. So yeah, first seven rounds, he had a 94-point average. Now, in that, he didn't play round one. He had COVID. And then round three, I think he missed again. He had COVID. In that, he played four 80-minute games and a 78-minute game. So I can see a world where he probably starts fast. But what about you, Finn? Senor, going with away from Harry Grant, what do you think?
Yeah, we've discussed him a bit on the server, haven't we? I knew the hooker setup wouldn't be too popular amongst you guys, but... you know, you did mention that Harry Grant started well, but he averaged 94. I think that's best case scenario for Grant for his projection.
Yeah.
Start. And, I mean, I can't have every gun in the spine. If I did, then the rest of my team would look pretty bad. So I got to make a sacrifice somewhere. And I don't think Grant has the ceiling of the other spine guns. So that's just how I've gone at the moment. I just needed an alternative, and if Sonny Luke is in the right situation, I'd probably go that way.
Yeah,
there is And sorry, there is good chat coming out of the Panthers squad that Mitch Kenny will start and Sonny Luke's pretty much going to take over the Appy Coruscant role. Come on after 20 minutes and play the remainder of the game. So he should get 60, 65 minutes. That's what everyone's banking on with Sonny Luke. So he's definitely going to make you cash.
Yeah. And like you said, Finny, I've got, your team, I'd love to fit Holmes in. And at the moment, that's where I'm skimping on. So like you said, you got to leave someone out in the spine. And that's where I am to obviously have Grant. So it is that risk. So it's good, but because all these teams like this early on is looking a bit different because everyone has a value somewhere different in their squad. But with Grant, I think there's like you said, that could be his best case. There is also a case that he does regress, obviously, with losing the Bromwich brothers, losing Brandon Smith. Like him and Brandon Smith, I know Brandon Smith didn't look that great last year, but him and Grant had a really good 1-2 punch the last few years. So it is a lot of even Pappenhausen not being there for probably the first half of the season. We don't actually know yet, but yeah, there is a bit of a change up there, so could be a risk.
I was reading this morning that it looks like it's 6 weeks. Pappenhausen won't be back till round 7.
Yeah.
That hurts all them Storm players, let's be honest. Do we have any stats from last year, Grant's points in correlation with Pappenhausen being on the field or anything like that?
I think it's hard to gauge. It's it was a significant drop, but it's hard to gauge with, I don't think you can look too far into it because Storm did have a lot of outs last year throughout the whole time. So if we look at the forward pack, they've lost Jesse Bromwich, they've lost Brandon Smith from probably that lock role, even though Josh King started there a lot of games last year. But they've got the return of Welch. They've got Kamakamika didn't start until I think round 10. He was stood down, so he should be back on deck, ready to go from day dot.
Yeah.
They've brought in. Yeah. Sorry.
I was just going to say a big Nelson as well if he plays that edge, just like Finney said. So.
Yeah, they've got Nelson.
Keen.
They've got Tarek Sims. They've recruited him over, so a bit of aggression, and he was sort of shown a door from Dragons. However, that played out. So I can't get a gauge on where he sort of fits. I think he has that aggression, that style in the middle, the defence. But he's getting on in age. I don't know. Does he start on an edge? Does he play off the bench? What do you guys think?
Well, speaking about age, they've also got Tarek Sims to jump in there as well.
Yeah, that's what I was just saying. Sims, where do you think he fits?
I think he comes off the bench to start, but he'll be trying to prove himself throughout the year to grab that start spot. But I definitely think he starts on the bench the first 2-3 rounds.
And Finn, I know you think Big Nelson starts or plays some minutes on the edge. Who do you think gets that second edge spot? Because they've lost Kafusi as well, so they've lost both their edge back forwards who have been serviceable for Storm for a couple of years now.
Maybe Katoa or that Loyero. I don't know. It's a bit of guesswork, isn't it? They have quite a few options there.
Yeah. So I like Katoa, and I think I've had him in my team the last 2 seasons now, and he's got all that potential, but then he always seems to pick up an injury or he loses form and he can get slack on defence. I think if he was outside Munster, who's a very good defender, I reckon he could be an all right pick, but then does he play 80 minutes? Like that could work into that, how you're saying, if Nelson started on the edge or came over, that could work out 20 minutes for Nelson and then go to the middle and Katoa gets up 60 on the edge.
Yeah, I think that's viable. I think that could work out in the Storm's favour. I wouldn't rule it out.
I think with Katoa, he's in that, I think Sims is above him, and I don't think Sims will start on an edge. If he does, I think it'd be 20 minutes and maybe that would be him sharing their minutes on the edge. But then you've got Loureiro, who's priced underneath, and even Chan, who's another one they got from UK, he's cheaper than Katoa at least. And then they've got Howarth, who's waiting in the wings, who's got that big payday.
Mm.
He's like the Ferrari in the shed. They haven't pulled him out yet.
Yeah. Just on Sims, I don't doubt the Storm's ability to rejuvenate players, but Sims looked done.
Yeah.
At the Dragon. He looks done as an edge player. I think he'd be probably be best served as a middle role off the bench, a veteran kind of role.
Yeah.
I think that's what he'd be best used for.
Yeah, the only edge Sims would be touching, you reckon, Finney, is the edge of his seat on the bench.
Yes, getting splinters on his ass, mate, I reckon.
Yeah, that's right.
He could end up like Morella, and everyone seems to put him in their team come pre-season, and he just doesn't even get a look in.
Is he still at the Storm?
I think he is. That could be Sims this year.
Oh, he looks way down the pecking order, mate.
Poor bloke.
Obviously, the elephant in the room is Ryan Pappenhuyzen and his fitness. There's a lot of chatter with Munster potentially going fullback for X amount of weeks. With your team reveal there, Finney, you touched on Munster. Any discussion or news with that about Munster switching to fullback? We all know what bellyache's like. He won't make that decision until 1 hour before kickoff, just like he did last year sort of thing. So, have you considered Munster at all?
I would consider him over Burton if Munster was playing fullback. Dewey's pretty much set in my side. So they leave Burton, but you know I'm pretty keen on Burton as well. So I've liked the idea of running both Dewey and Burton, but it looks like Meany's been training at the back. Mm-hmm. To be honest,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
It should also make Meany a good anchor option.
But also last year, all the times Munster played fullback, he wasn't training at fullback once.
Yeah, that's just again, no one really knows. Hey, we're just
I
think to be honest, I think it just. You're taking the best, probably 5'8 in the game, and I know he's a great fullback, and it just takes from the team. I heard someone say it the other day, and they like, yes, Meany, he's not a outstanding fullback, but he'll do a job. Whereas if Munster goes back there, he's not like you can't replace Meany at 5'8. Like it just didn't work. And then I think they've got Pezzette, a young bloke who he played off the bench in Cup last year. He doesn't have the experience yet to come in. So I think it's sort of a detriment to the team. You want Munster and Hughes getting the ball and Grant there. They can, like, do a job. And on Meany, even if he does start at fullback, he's actually, like, there's some upside there. He's priced at a 61 average, but he played some wing, had some low games there. But when he was named at one, so I know there was a few games where he wasn't named at one and he might have played fullback, but if I just look at, like, just going off what he was named at one, he's got a 66-point average from about 12-odd games with a really low score against Panthers in round 10. So I can see, like Storm fullbacks usually score really well. He's goal-kicking. I can see him being a 70, 75 av with their opening draw, and I see the potential there. It's just trying to fit him in, fit a Val Holmes in, fit them other spine players in. That's the hardest thing for me at the moment.
What price is
Meany? $640.
Hmm. Yeah, the only reason I don't have him in is because I don't know if I can see him burning me the way Val Holmes definitely could. I'm not sure about Meany's ceiling, but
yeah.
I was going to say earlier before, the spine players Hughes and whatnot. Hughes will become an option throughout the year, I imagine, through the heavy buy periods and stuff like that. But is there any chance Harry Grant doesn't play the 80? I think it's every chance he doesn't. Bellamy likes that 1-2 punch, as you mentioned, Julian, with B. Smith and Grant.
Yeah,
last year. So I think Bellamy will try and stick with that. But is Wishart going to fill that second role or what?
I think every possibility he probably does. But I think, like, Grant played a number of 80-minute games last year. I think if he's fit, if Storm probably if they're way out ahead, they'll probably take him off and rest him where they can. But by then, he's probably done his job anyway. I just, like, it's you pick where you want to he probably doesn't have the ceiling as others. But yeah, that, I just think he's an outstanding top hooker, so I'll just put him in there and then probably come State of Origin. If he looks to dip or round their first buy, which is like round 9, maybe sell him for maybe a Robson before State of Origin or something like that. Just see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. What's your thoughts, Finny? You reckon Grant plays 80 throughout the season or what?
Can you still hear me? My screen just died.
You still with us, mate?
Hello?
He's not there. But just looking at the team, the Storm team, we got another one that, like, everyone's sort of pretty set into the team, Drew. Smith comes back from injury, and he's an interesting pickup for, like, at that cheap price.
Mm.
Yeah, you just dropped out, but we've moved on to Smith. what's his name? Remus Smith? What's he priced? Yeah, we could hear you. Drew, can you hear us?
Yeah, mate, I can hear you. I think Finny said earlier he was in his car, so might have dropped out a signal there or something. So,
hello, Finn, boys, can you hear us? Hello.
So, if we, Drew? Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah, can you hear us?
Yeah, hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Just carry on with Smith, Julian. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, so he's coming off, he had a serious pec injury last year and I think a few other little niggling injuries. He's priced at a 30 average. He's 316K. Now, looking at his scores last year and Storm, like early on, rounds 1 to 6 were dominating teams. He had his highest score of 59 points in 80-minute games, and he's like got a 34 average from last year. I can see, like, I know we have to pick these cheap center wings, but I just think he's a trap. Like, I don't see any value in him. I don't think he's got. He might have a 1 or 2 game where he like scores a try and maybe scores 80 or so. But then you have to get rid of him quick, because I just think he's a Storm winger. I don't think he's got much upside.
Nah, he'll grab a double or a hat trick in one game, and everyone will jump on.
Yeah,
he does that all the time. All right, moving on. We'll change our focus in our discussion over to the Cowboys. We'll start from the top again. The name that I see keep coming up all the time is Reece Robson in replace of Grant or Luke or B. Smith or anyone like that. So we'll start with Reece Robson. He done really well last season, a bit of a breakout year for him. There is chat with his, if he keeps that performance up, he could be, you know, looking at Origin this year or anything like that. Cowboys have a really, really good draw to start the season. Reece Robson's priced at a 670,000, I believe. I don't have it in front of me, but 670,000.
Yeah, I just looked at it.
What's your thoughts with him? I don't think Reece Robson's been in your team at all this season yet, Julian.
I see some growth there. He's priced at a 64 average. Now, he didn't play all his games at 80 minutes, like they had Granville there early on. Like, and I don't know if it's, like, he's an 80-minute hooker, but I don't know if it's the hot Queensland weather to start the year. If they opt with a Granville on the bench to give him a bit of a spell, not burn him out, big season. But he did average, when he played 74, 72-plus minutes, so close to the 80, he averaged 70 points. So there's value there. The draw is another one. Like, there is, it's a great draw for him. But he had a run of games where he scored 5 tries, barring 1 week, so in a 6-week span, back to back to back, like just taking scoots. And we've talked about this before, about like, all right, the potential of more tries for hookers, more runs from dummy half and things like that. So I still see that there. But even his highest scoring game was like a 91-point game. 108 versus Panthers, sorry. Back end of the year, Panthers have rested all their stars before finals. I don't see ceiling being that much it's going to hurt you. So yeah, he's not for me, but like I can see the value there.
I think a lot of people are replacing, getting rid of the Grant, putting in Reece Robson just because of that price difference as well. If you look at the averages and stuff, and there's a lot of Cowboys supporters that are jumping on Reece Robson because of their draw and stuff like that. But once you crunch it down to get them stats, Grant's definitely the standout, without a doubt. He's probably in a better team as well. So, yeah, I did start with Robson in my team reveal a few weeks ago, but once Grant's in there, I think he sort of stays.
All right, so on Val Holmes, he is one of the top three centre wings price this year. 724,000, price at a 68-point average. Now, like I've said, I'd love to fit him in. I can't do it myself, but that draw is, it's scary not having him. He could get 20 points in goals each game, start of the year. What do you think?
Are you back with us, Finny? You've got Holmes in your side, mate. You take it away.
Are you talking to me, Julian?
Yeah, what do you think? What do you think with Holmes?
Yeah, he's probably going to start for me. He's this centre wing anchor that I have the most confidence will actually replicate his attacking output from last year. If the Cowboys slightly regress, which I'm worried they might. And I wanted a piece of the Cowboys with their opening draw. I think Holmes is probably the easiest and safest avenue for that. I'm not really keen on Robson or Drinkwater or any of them. So, yeah, that's where I've gone.
Yeah, definitely. I think you're correct there. I think he is, it's probably the safest you can go. Goal kicking, centre wing, great draw. I don't think they don't have a bye. They don't leave Queensland for a number of games, and they play a lot of bottom eight sides from last year. I don't think you can go wrong. Hard to fit in. Have you got him in, Drew, at the moment?
I have had him in once or twice. At the moment, I don't. I've got a lot of placeholders at centre wing. I'm still messing around with all that, but I do like Holmes, and I just like the way Finny just worded it there. He's the anchor that he can sort of semi-rely on at that price putting in there. I have had Addo Carr in there. I've had bloody Corey Oates in there. But, yeah, I'm looking for – I want to start with a decent centre wing at that similar price range. So I might have to have another look at Holmes. I really like Holmes.
And just with his ownership as well that I forgot to mention, I think he's 25% owned. So, that's pretty scary if you don't own him. He could definitely burn you.
Yeah, definitely. Drinkwater's a similar price. He's only 20,000 more from memory, I believe, 20,000 more. He is standing out in a lot of teams. I don't have the percentage in front of me, but I have heard and seen his name being dropped a lot on the Discord and whatnot. So with Hammer gone as well, it's only going to benefit Drinkwater, I think. What's our thoughts?
He had a few games there where Hammer was on the bench or he was moved around a bit. So there's three games where he didn't play 80 minutes at fullback. If you take that out and you take a game he played at 6 in round 24 back end of the year, he's got a 75-point average. So there's an argument there that, all right, he wasn't playing like at the start of the year. He didn't know if he had the fullback position, but he was into it pretty quick. Does he improve on that? He's a few points under. The draw again comes into play. The biggest thing with Hammer, Drinkwater for me is he can go very low. Compared to some of the other fullbacks, up in that, when you consider he's the highest, the fourth highest fullback, that's my concern, I would say.
Yeah, way too expensive for mine.
Yeah.
He's a very risky pick compared to some other fullbacks in that similar price point. When I look at him, and I know you've already mentioned Robson, but I think their attacking output from last year is best case scenario again. I definitely can't see him improving on that rate. I can only really see him, if he doesn't stay, regress. And I think it's quite risky.
I've got one for you, boys. I've seen a lot of pod plays and whatnot and pod picks, but for some reason a lot of teams I do see a lot of Dearden and Townsend come up. Any love for Dearden or Townsend?
get.
I think a lot of people are getting really caught up in the draw.
Yeah, I think I don't know your thoughts here, Finn, but I think it's just getting like Finn just said. Then it's like replicating last year's year that they had. Like even with Drinkwater, just going back to Drinkwater first, but I think it really takes into, you have to take into account for all the Cowboys. You can't just throw all of them in. They're not all going to, it's like saying Lolo's going to score well when we saw how he got played out last year. But even Drinkwater, like he was 500K odd center, fullback, 5'8 dual. And I was like thinking, do I get him? Do I not? Middle of last year, because he does have that low floor. And, but they've got Raiders first game, and Raiders used to leak big points to fullback, and they sort of set change that last year, so they started to work the defense to accommodate that. And then Broncos, that's usually been like a really close game. I know I'm a Broncos fan, but it's been a close game, like a derby for year after year. And both times we turned up to play them, they just whooped us. Like we like had nothing for them. I think Cowboys, I had Cowboys coming bottom four last year, and they came out and completely like changed, like didn't play like that. They played really well, and they deserve the way they went. But I think they shocked a lot of teams that were thinking, oh yeah, we're just playing the Cowboys, they got nothing, and they didn't turn up. And by the time they played, like turned up, it was too late.
Yeah, they won't get that same treatment this year though.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why I worry about the Cowboys. I think those blokes trying to pick Townsend and Dearden, they're trying to be different for the sake of it, I feel.
I think they're trying to forsake cash by getting rid of Hines and whatnot, and yeah, trying to make their decision of dropping Hines or Cleary worthwhile by throwing in a crazy pod like young Dearden.
Yeah, I think there's better options out there.
Definitely. Just jumping off Cowboys season from last year, obviously the upbringing of Reuben Cotter and Jeremiah Nanai. Nanai's come off a great World Cup series as well. So both priced at 620 and 659, 660,000 for Jeremiah Nanai. Any thoughts on those two this year? I think they'll be good for the Cowboys sense, but Supercoach, I think there's better options to start.
What do you reckon, Finn?
They're both too expensive for mine as well. I'm not really sure why people are picking Cotter, to be honest. I don't see much appeal. I think he already averaged, what was it, in the high 50s minutes last year. Is he going to get a bigger role than that?
I don't see it. He got chopped and changed and put on the bench a few times. I reckon with State of Origin, like, yes, it's a long way off. It's 13 rounds, but they'll want to sort of protect him going up to that. And if, like, with how good that draw is, I don't think they'll risk him playing big minutes early on, at least. They've got, well, Tom Lolo, who played limited minutes last year for whatever reason. They've got McLean, who, what, turned around his career pretty much and was picked for State of Origin or was close to breaking in there. And then you've got Tarmow coming back, who was a club captain. Like, he's not going back there. He might play 20, 30 minutes, but it's going to have an impact into Cotter. Yeah, I don't know. It's not. And his dual, like last year, the hooker, was it second row? It was just so good. And this year, he's just in front row. So, Cotter's not for me.
He's priced at a 59 average in 57 minutes, and he lost his dual. I don't really see much scope for improvement there at all.
Nah, he could probably hit a 60, 65, but I don't think he's going to get 70, 75 up there. He doesn't have the ceiling of like a Tarpany. In my opinion, I don't think he's undervalued enough for Haas. Like, man, they're the two standouts. I think even Big Tino, if he can replicate back end of last year's form.
Yeah, fully agreed. And even if he does hit a 65 average, like, best case, is that worth it?
Nah.
Probably not.
And on Nanai, interesting on him, because there is a lot of people out there, I think, are high on Nanai. He scored 17 tries last year. And he's still only averaged 62 points.
Hmm.
Like, if we were talking, I know you're not high on Fifita, Drew, but if that was Fifita, like, he'd be up in the 90 average.
Oh, yeah, I don't doubt it. I completely agree. And it'd be interesting to see how many of those tries come off kicks 10 meters out as well, because there was a lot of them.
Yeah, so I'm not. He's not for me. I think you could, like, you got second year syndrome. Like, I know he played 2021, but there was only a few stints off the bench. I know he's a try scorer. I know he's got a heap of talent, but I just think other teams are going to be sort of targeting him, knowing that, marking up on him on the high ball. I just think there's regression there for him, even if he does improve from that experience with the World Cup.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the Balmain Tigers. I haven't heard them called Balmain Tigers for quite some time, actually. I know we started off with the hookers for the other two teams that we pulled apart, so let's start there. Appy Coruscant, boys. Do we feel he is the missing link to all these forwards and second rowers that they've signed?
From a real life standpoint, yeah, he's one of the best hookers in the game. I don't know about him from a Supercoach standpoint. You'd only really pick him as an alternative to Grant. I don't know if that's worth it.
I haven't seen Coruscant in any teams, I don't think. Just to come to think of it, actually. Yeah, has anyone got his ownership percentage up or what?
Let me have a look. I'm on here right now.
You'd be shocked if it's over 20%.
No, he's 5% owned.
Yeah, exactly. I think with Appy's inclusion, I think it's only going to add benefit for your Adam Dewey and, heaven I do say it, probably Luke Brooks as well, given that early ball. But, yeah, he's behind a well-thought-out, well-planned, well-signed forward pack this season, so... I think Adam Dewey is going to be the beneficiary of Appy joining that side, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm more interested in the impact he has on a certain front row forward if he can get the start, who I feel is heavily underpriced. I know it's congested, but Big Stefano, I think he was on a lot of lips last year as like because of the way he finished 2021 and his try-scoring feats. But I think he was heavily injured, wasn't the same person. I think, there's recent photos, he's looking trim, he's looking fit, he's looking like he's having some fun. Big Clem there. Even if, say, Stefano plays 40, 45 minutes starting, I think with Clem there taking that first hit up and teams targeting Clemmer, it opens it up a bit more for Stefano. And one thing I looked at with... Like the hookers he was running off last year, he had no chance to score a try anyway. He was running off Little, Simkin and Brown, and I think not one of them between themselves had a try assist or a line break assist, whereas Appy had 13 try assists and 14 line break assists at Panthers. So I think that there's value there. I think he could probably be one of the better mids. I just think it's a bit risky to start with him as a second front row forward.
Yeah, I think that third front row slot's probably that's the ideal spot for him. If he is playing 40, 45 minutes, everyone's going to have him. He'll be the best cheap option there.
Yeah.
There is a lot of chat on. I have seen it, including a lot of articles, that they are looking to put Bateman to play that 13 lock as well, to try and eventually mould into a Yo or a Cameron Murray sort of ball-playing running lock, very similar. That's probably like the really only other Tigers front rower. I know Bateman's second rower, but obviously if he does play that 13 every now and then, do you feel like they're going to, once they get their positions, they're going to set them in concrete, run with that and see how it goes? I'd hate to see with all these signings that the Tigers just keep shuffling until they feel like they've got it right, because they haven't got that right for years.
Yeah, I don't think I think we've heard like Papali's on the left outside Brooks, but I'm not what we're hearing. I think the second trial that they have is probably going to be really important. I think Bateman gets in the country this week coming.
Yeah.
So I know I think Offa Hangawi and Matamua, young Matamua's been doing some reps in at 13 at lock. So that's been, I think Blaw's been training on the edge then, on that right edge, I would say. So yeah, it's really up in the air. Like, probably see how they go on the second trial and then see what's named, because I think depending on Offa-Hengawian, where he starts, where Bateman starts, it really makes it whether Stefano, Bloor or Matamua are all worth a shot. I think that's the biggest impact.
Gee, they've signed well this year, haven't they?
Yeah.
They have. It's I remember talking to you a few weeks ago, Julian, and I reckon I'm not a Tigers fan whatsoever, but I reckon they'll do really well this season. I reckon we won't start to see them really come out of their shell till mid-season stuff, but they can finish top eight, I believe. Do we feel or what? Am I sounding like an idiot with top eight call or what?
I feel. No,
like, you feel?
They can definitely surprise a few teams this year. Or can surprise people this year. I think they're pretty... People rate them bottom four as a consensus, I think. But, you know, they definitely can definitely improve on that.
And I think this is where it makes it difficult when you're looking at the draw for, like, easy matchups, and people are putting the top eight, bottom eight into a... Oh, yeah, when they score, played top eight last year or bottom eight last year. You're throwing in teams like Tigers, Bulldogs in that mix. They're vastly different this year, so I can see improvement in there. And that's where I'm not liking all the they got an easy draw, they got a hard draw chat as much.
Yeah, I agree. Mm.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of chat as well with Staines, Laurie, all moving positions, and there was a bit of a joke going around with that, but I think once they get their position set, they'll be right.
Yeah.
Okay. The biggest name on everyone's lips from the Tigers is obviously Adam Dewey. He's in a lot of sides, currently on my side as well. I feel like he has a stellar season this year.
Yeah, I can't see, like, he's one of the first picks for me. Like, I remember 2 years ago, he was fullback dual, and I got stuck with him when he did his ACL, I think, at the back, and I ran out of trades. But he's one of them players. He's got the ceiling. He's got goal kick. He's got the base. He loves to run himself. I could see him pushing a Cameron Munster for top 5'8".
Isaiah Papali'i. What's our thoughts there? He has been in my side in and out. He's just 830,000 to start is a lot of dough.
Yeah, I've had him in there as well. He is very expensive, which is why I've opted for Crichton or Murray instead more recently. But I still think Papali'i will be the best, if not second best, second rower this year. He'll still obviously be a keeper, but I think if you don't think that he'll be the top second rower, then it's probably not worth starting him.
Yeah, I reckon he's got potential to be up there. He'll be up around the top 2-3. It's just his price.
Yeah, and obviously the Tigers are going to need a period of adjustment there from being in a new club. Yeah. They're obviously not going to be Parramatta, at least straight away. So,
yeah,
there's definitely enough reasons to avoid him.
The only concern I would have is if he regressed any, because we saw a bit of potential at the Warriors, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere he comes to the Eels and he's like Brad Arthur turned him into pretty much a star. And so if he does sort of slack off, whether it's the training or whatever, that'd be the only thing. If you're paying that top dollar to start off, that'd be my concern.
I think that's a valid concern there.
Well, what about Bateman? Bateman's one that hasn't made my side in the last few weeks, but I've seen him in a few. He did, you know, good things at the Raiders when he was there, and he was 50% ownership at one point throughout the year when he played for the Raiders before he went overseas. Any love for Bateman?
Not for me. He's priced at a 59 average. He can probably push a 60, 65. What do you think, Finn?
Yeah, I mean, the 60 average is pretty... you'd have to be confident that he'll be a keeper, I reckon, if you start him. And he's got quite a lot of unknowns there. I mean, we still don't know what position he's going to play.
Yeah.
Apparently, he wasn't too good over in the Super League. So, I'd rather wait and see on him.
Yeah. He wasn't too good in the Super League, did you say, Finn?
Yeah, apparently he was out of form there.
Oh, wow.
I think he was dealing with some injuries too. So I think when he went back over, he's had a few issues and been injured a bit. And I don't think it was anything like he was when he first came out here. And he's not even here yet. Like, so I know he's been, I think Sheensy said he's been sending videotape on what to train and blah, blah, blah. But
he hasn't even trained with him yet.
He hasn't even been over yet. So he's not even on the land.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think it's just
a big risk.
How's your memory? Like, he's second row at the moment. Was he dual when he was with the Raiders?
Yeah.
With center wing, yeah.
Oh, he was too. He was center wing. Whoa. Yeah, he won't get that this season.
No.
unless they do the crazy Adam Dewey switch, because they play him everywhere. Put him in, but he's second row and Bateman to the wing. Who knows?
Hopefully not. I do have one here. I like Tommy Talau. I know he hasn't shown much in the past. He was a cheapy weight, like couple, like 2018, I think, 2019.
Yeah.
He, I do vaguely remember the games he played on the wing. He was stuck behind someone, like someone was at center who would not pass him the ball. And he had a few games playing center and he scored good at center. I just think he's had the whole year off last year. He's returning from ACL, but he did it back end of 2021. So he had all of 2022 off. Tigers didn't risk him, obviously, with their season last year. I think he has some potential. I think he might play outside Dewey. Like, and that'd be if Bateman's right. Bateman does them under, coming under plays. So that might open him up a bit. Or say a Blaw there, he might play on that edge. But I say, like, his averages at the 4 or 3 jersey in 2021 was a 46 average. And at 4 or 3 in 2020 from just 3 games was 65. So he's priced it really low. And we're going to have some of these cheap guys in our center wing. I'm putting him in there just like, because I don't mind a Tigers draw, and I think he's just got some potential.
Does he play left or right from memory?
I think right, and there was a Twitter picture this morning showing like a left versus right opposed, and it looked like Naden was on the left, whether he makes a team or not. But I think they've invested in Talau, have had big raps on him for years. Giving him that whole year to recover and not rushing him back in, I think that just shows how much the club wants him and sees value there. So, and I think he's off contract too this year, so he'd be coming out to really show club the faith and hopefully score as well.
Yeah, very good. 300,000. I've just got him up here in front now, so we'll have to have a close look at him. Hopefully he gets a run in the trials. We can see what he's like.
Any other thoughts, Finn?
On Talau? Yeah, so it looks like he'll be that right center spot.
Right center?
Yeah, it looks like it. And I don't know. I don't feel that's the greatest situational spot. I don't think being outside Dewey is necessarily a good thing. But he's cheap enough where he has the potential to make money, but how quickly is he going to make money compared to some other options? I'm not too sure.
Yeah.
He's not on my side at the moment for that reason.
That right wing looks like it is a Nofaluma. Nofaluma going to play there, or?
I'd guess so. I guess Nofo would play out there.
Yep.
They got a few backs. I don't know how good they are, but they got a few backs that fighting for 4 positions. Five if you count fullback and Staines and Lowry playing, fighting it out.
Yep. All right. That's it for Tigers, do we reckon? No one else we want to try and cover? No Luke Brooks discussions?
I have someone on my server talk about Brett Naden heaps.
Maybe
we could do a little spill on Brett Naden, on his potential.
I'm a big fan of Naden, but it's when I was looking at him years past at Panthers, I do prefer him if he was playing wing. I think his base and power is better at wing.
Yeah, I don't have much to add there. I was only taking the piss, so.
I was trying to pull him up, looking at all his numbers, and I didn't want to say anything. I was, woof.
I know, like, if you look at last year, like, you went from Bulldogs, who were, they were struggling, to, like, an even worse team, like, Tigers. At the time, Tigers, look at them, look at what they, look, they did. But, like, I look at his scores, like, a four-point game in 80 minutes and 11-point game in 80 minutes. It's not good, not good reading.
That's probably two tries and 12 penalties, probably.
Well, yeah. Well, he played the 80, so he wasn't sin bin.
Yeah, true. Can't believe we brushed over Charlie Staines too, lads. It's a bit disheartening. All right, I've got a few questions here of the Facebook page, so I'll pick five. We'll go with five. I'll just ask them openly, and you guys can jump in and let us know your thoughts, see if we can answer them. So I've got one here from Darren Reeder. He says, I have both Grant and B. Smith in my hookers at the moment. It's hard to drop either for Sonny Luke if Sonny Luke's going to start for the Panthers. Who would you drop if you had to drop either? I think we've discussed that.
Well, Finn's dropped Grant
already.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So what would your answer be there, Finn? Who would you drop if you had to put Sonny in? Obviously Grant.
Yeah, it would be Grant. Cheese is pretty much locked into my side. I can't see myself starting without Cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
Peace. Yeah, and I've been pretty keen on anti-potting Grant. So that's my...
Risk it to win the biscuit. That's good. I like that. I like the balls. That's good.
And like you said, we've, like, Cheese, Finn, he's at 51% owned now. So, like, he's one...
Scary high, yeah.
I've said it before. It's like he's one he's easy to not anti-pod because, like, you know what he can do if he's close to the line. And behind that Roosters forward pack, I know he might have a set play. All right, yeah, got a structure to play to. You give him half a sniff, he's going over.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you've got to watch that percentage as well because they go from, you know, being a pod to an anti-pod to a must-have because you don't want to miss out. You know what I mean? Like, if his ownership gets up anymore, you don't want to miss out on that.
Yeah.
All right, next one here from Willie T. Do you think Hines drops off this year with having a massive year last season?
Drops off.
Not too sure what he means by that.
Not like significantly, I wouldn't say. He's still got that same role there. He's probably the second best halfback still.
But yeah, he's the man in that Sharks outfit too, eh? Like, everything goes through him. I think, you know, try contribution, potentially every try. Easy.
Yeah.
Goal kick as well, yeah.
Yeah, there's room for him to drop off because, obviously, like, Dally M year, everything sort of went right for him. But he's in everything. I don't know, like, even if he dropped down to a 75-point average, you're not... That's 10 points. You might lose 100K or he's got Warriors and Dragons in the top in the first five or so, and like that easily captainable against them games.
Yeah, definitely agree. If you're not going to captain Cleary, you'd be the next one to throw the armband on.
And the hardest thing I find there is like, who do you put in his place? Like, who do you, if you're not going him, who do you put in? Like, you can risk it on Walker and he might improve. You got Boyd. But then you got to play him like round three when Cleary's out. And I think that's when they play Storm. So how do you, who do you put in there?
Luke Brooks, mate. We just discussed it.
Yeah.
All right. Next one from Mitchell Dale. How do we feel the Dolphins will go this year? Supercoach aside, where do you think they'll finish on the ladder? Finny?
Probably last. I don't know. I look at their and I just like, I don't know. How do they compete with any of the sides?
Yeah, agreed.
I think people are overvaluing the presence of Wayne Bennett a bit. Like, he's not a magician. The side's pretty horrendous.
I was just about to say their best signing and best player is probably their coach. So that's about it. They haven't signed too well. Anything to add to that, Julian?
I think, I don't see him being overly competitive. I think... they'll play okay, like they'll be in game, so I just don't think they have the like the structure, they don't have the star power to win and be serious, in my opinion. I don't know about last, like Dragons are looking pretty good at the moment.
Yeah. Although Wayne Bennett did guide the worst Queensland Origin side to victory. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
All right. What's that? That's three. So two more. Let's go this one from Snakey. Can you have Burton without having Adokar? I'm not too sure what he means with that. Maybe he's saying that if you're going to have Burton, you've got to have Adokar as well, potentially, but I don't see that. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't. You don't want to put too many eggs in one basket in that regard.
No.
I don't really. If just in a vacuum, I don't see Josh Adokar as being a great option. Obviously, Burton's a good option. So,
I think, yeah, I think Adokar relies too heavily on try scoring, to be relevant.
He could go on the run at some stage if you.
Yeah, if he doesn't. Enough,
you can see. But yeah, I don't know. Not to start for me.
Nah, if he doesn't find himself in that Blues jersey again, he'll probably go on a bit of a rampage again. But
yeah, might be good over that period.
Last one here from MJP. Thoughts on Luke Garner, lads?
Yeah, now, I like him. It's hard. Like the other day, I was playing around and trying to get another gun in. I had Angus in, but it just was unrealistic. With like the cows, and if we don't get them, so like I've dropped him down to being able to get Garner and Katoa, and hoping like I could see a world where maybe Angus can pump out a 70-point average early on, 75, with their draw. But yeah, Garner and like ECAT could probably maybe get a 55-60. So, and then I just sell them, move them on. Like, I'm not saying they're holds, not keepers, not guns, but get them up to that guy and then move them on, flick them. What do you think?
Yeah, Luke Garner's got to, he's got to get that role first. There's a lot of talk that fans pretty much want Sorensen to play that left edge as well. But I think even if Sorensen does land that role, I think even he's a shout as well, like on that Panthers left edge. There's points there, definitely.
Well, yeah. Sorensen's so good in his role at the moment. I don't know why they want to move him there.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, even Hoskins, it's going to be hard. Like, I was, like, really looking forward to it, the World Cup Challenge, because we had, like, Garner's... Like, if Garner started in the World Cup Challenge, Mitch Kenny, if he starts, and then we see sort of, like, what Sonny Luke's minutes might be, because it's going to be a pretty serious game. But now with Martin having a slight shoulder injury, we might not see who, like, we'll still see who's on the left edge, but it could be all just funny buggers and someone else could be on the other side. So it's sort of, yeah, it's a risky sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, the news for Martin is not good, unfortunately.
But, and then another thing to add in with Garner, I did look at him. Like, obviously, I've looked at him. I'm pretty keen on him. I think he can score well. He's coming from Tigers, who haven't done well the last few years. But he does face up. If he gets a left edge, he does face up against Jordan Rickey round one. Great defensive second row forward. So no one should have him in their team.
Right.
I've already pinned it. I reckon give him a double that first round.
Bronco confidence. All right, boys, that just about wraps us up for this podcast. We're getting on a fair bit. Is there anything else we want to add to those three teams that we've touched on today?
No, I think we covered it quite well, boys. Well done.
Yeah, no, it's good chat with it. Like, obviously, still pre-season. Looking forward to some trials coming up. There's a trial tonight with the Dolphins' future first team, and the baby Broncos, and then next week we get the actual trials. That'd be interesting, and we can start really nutting down on teams and such.
Yep, keen. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, going to be a great season, lads. All right, boys. Finny, thanks for coming on, mate. We really appreciate it. I just want to reach out again if people want to join your secret society. How do they go about that?
Just through the Twitter page, or just word of mouth through other servers and stuff. I'm sure Julian will shout us out through on the hub and stuff like that. I'm sure he will. So, yeah.
All right. Cheers, boys. Thanks for listening, eh? We'll see you on the next one.
All right. See you.
Well, if you don't believe in fairy tales, we might see the giant fairy tale of all time here right now. With Thurston, a kick from the sideline to win a premiership for the Cowboys.